Now, on the line, I have Caroline McGuigan from Suicide or Survive, and she's going to tell us about Suicide or Survive, Mental Health Awareness Month, and battling mental health stigma. Good morning, Caroline. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. Happy Friday. I am very well. How about yourself?
I'm in great form. Absolutely great form. And I say that to everyone, because whether I'm in bad form or otherwise, I say I'm in great form because it always makes me feel better.
So you know your wellness tips and strategies. You know what to do to keep yourself well.
Well, it's funny enough, and I was talking to Terry Morrissey just a few moments ago, and before that I was talking to Zoe Ford from Sea Change.
Yeah.
And I was just saying that I used to work for Quinsworth and Tesco, and I used to travel the country basically selling the company, trying to get new stores and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And every morning I would get out of bed and I would smile at myself in the mirror.
Right.
And that just made me smile inside, made me laugh at myself.
Brilliant.
And that's it was just one of those things, because you get up in the morning and sometimes you're not feeling great in the morning, and I just felt that helped me change my mood.
Yeah.
And just that, like the same as if somebody asks me how I am, I'll always say I'm great.
Isn't that great? And you know what's lovely about that, Michael, is that firstly, every single human being has mental health, the same way I'd say they have physical and dental health. And it's a way of finding what works for you, because we're all so unique. And I think just being open to that idea of I need to invest in my mental health on a daily basis, the same way I do my dental health. You know, you brush your teeth every day. So let's make mental health the same.
Hold on, Caroline. Why did you have to bring dentists into this?
Oh, do you not like them?
No, I have to say, I didn't. As a young lad, I had issues. I got a belt in the mouth, and a tooth dropped, and all sorts of jiggy-marolies, and years and years ago. But now I'm fine with dentists. I'm grand.
And I think it's the analogy of that. I'd always think that, you know, when we were very young, in our country, we automatically, through family and school, teach people to look after their dental health. And it's about, we do need to have that cultural shift and that mindset of we need to do the same with all ages and from a very young age, to teach people to say, look, stuff is coming your way, because that's life, and some of it is going to be wonderful and some of it's going to be tough. So again, if you learn from an early age to build that muscle, whether you want to call it resilience or wellness or whatever word is in at the moment, if you learn from an early age, it means when something comes your way, you're far more equipped and in a better place to say, okay, I need to work through this tough time because I can come out the other end. But if you don't have that awareness or you don't have those strategies, that's where you can end up in a very, very tough place.
I have to say, I like the analogy you gave there with your brain or your mind being a muscle, and you have to keep it fit.
It will do its own thing. I'm always fascinated by, before the day is out, me and you and everyone will have had about 65,000 thoughts. They're just automatic thoughts. And 95% of them are the same as yesterday. Now, if they're rocking and they're okay, happy days. But if you're caught in negative thinking, which will visit us all, if we don't keep an eye on them, or if we don't have practical ways of stepping back from them, it's very difficult. Then you can become quite anxious, your mood can, you know, dip. And if you realise, well, actually, there's more to me than my thoughts, and there's ways of, like what you're saying, Michael, getting up in the morning or through the day, doing things to break maybe a bad mood or break a cycle, that'll bring you back into a place of, okay, this is a tough situation, but I do know myself best and I do know what will help me. And I think it gets very mystified, it gets very professionalised. I'm a therapist, a CEO, I'm a facilitator, I do all that stuff. But mental health is back to basics, it's universal, and every human being has it.
I did some work with Sister Concilio and Coonwirra.
Mm-hmm.
And Sister Concilio is, she, it's nearly like her mantra is, she tells people, get out of your head, stop living in your head, you know, and don't be worrying about what happened previously, don't be thinking about what's coming forward, live now.
And it's a brilliant mantra, but it can be very difficult for people if they're very depressed. And I would be a big meditator and be very much into mindfulness, which is a beautiful way you've described it, Michael. And I think it has a huge value in looking after our mental health, from, say, working with people who are extremely suicidal to day-to-day, you know, people struggling. It's about saying to people, look, you can do it. Exactly how you described it, Michael. It's that your thoughts are going to seduce you into the future that hasn't happened, or they're going to pull you back into the past that's gone. And realistically, all we have is now. But that'll take a bit of a practice and a mindset by saying, look, will you consider looking at life this way? Would you think about life, you know, in a different way? And what might that be like for you? But that would take time for some people because they are caught in a very, very dark place.
Indeed. Can you tell us, maybe just we go back to the beginning, how did Suicide and Survive start?
Okay. So it's the best way to describe. So at the moment, I'm very blessed. I'm the CEO, and it started from a journey I went through part of my life. So I get to be a psychotherapist. I'm a mom. My son is 20. My daughter is 17. And I would have many years ago, Michael, in my 20s, would have got caught in anxiety and depression and had no understanding, didn't have the language, didn't know anything, and would have just went to my GP and assumed that I was broken or assumed that I was unwell, which is not the case. You know, mental health, if it goes in a negative way, it's emotional distress. You don't need labels and you don't need to be categorized, but I was given a lot of prescribed medication, and I wasn't given a choice of treatment. I was very unaware. My family, our community, we didn't understand what was going on for me. There was a massive, the word stigma gets thrown left, right and center at the moment, but there was a massive shame around, geez, don't be talking about your mental health. People think you're mad, or you're up in the John of God's, or they're, you know, all of that was all sitting there. So I sort of bought into that. And for me, I went on a journey of becoming more and more unwell. I was a day patient for, my God, I'd say 8 years in the psychiatric services. And I lost hope. And I think that's the one that really is important. So I got to a place where I started to feel less than, and I got to a place where I thought this will always be the way it is, and I got to a place of thinking I would never be any other way, or I wasn't more than the difficult situation I was in. And when I started to lose hope, Michael, the thought when it came into my head for the very first time of you'd be better off dead frightened me, and I got an awful fright, and I didn't tell anyone because I was quite ashamed and I was afraid they'd sign me in the psychiatric services. I'd seen some of my mates by the system itself being signed in, and I thought, I don't want that to happen. So I kept quiet around it. And tragically, I started to not be afraid of the thoughts, and I didn't understand that I was at risk, and actually if I got some support that the thoughts would pass, and like, you know, I'd get help, but I didn't. And I hadn't been offered therapy, I hadn't been offered that, and just lots and lots of prescribed medication. And I attempted suicide, Michael, and I died, and it was devastating, and my husband had to wait to see, but the hospital got me back. And I suppose what happened, Michael, a couple of things was, I still was not in a great place. I just couldn't understand, how did I get to a place that I thought of death and suicide? I didn't know how, as a human being, I got there, but I did. And then I couldn't understand, and I didn't know then, was that millions of people have thoughts and feelings of death. but you don't have to put them into action. And what we really want to kill off is the despair, the pain and the darkness. But tragically, suicide kills us off too. But I didn't have that awareness or understanding. So I literally sat at my kitchen table and my husband, and I just said, what has just happened? How in the name of God did I end up in this mess? I'm full of prescribed medication. So I literally educated myself. So I said, I need to understand what the medical model is because I've just been brought through it. I need to understand why any human being needs to be on 16 tablets a day. I need to understand why are they giving people labels and who decided these labels and how. So I educated myself. And one of the things I did get eventually was talk therapy, which works for some people, not everybody. And I then decided to go on the journey of becoming a psychotherapist because I thought if I want to be part of change, I need to educate myself, I need to inform myself. But apart from all of that, I had to build my life back up again because you're coming from suicide. So it was quite a journey, and it still is. But out of that has come Suicide or Survive, has come our programs, the people we work with, the partners, quite amazing, amazing, amazing people, Michael. So it's quite a privilege to be on this journey with so many people.
And you mentioned there that during your journey, you were saying you weren't aware.
No.
And I think, isn't that part of what we're doing this May, is making, speaking out, letting people know that it's okay to, you know, you got a problem, you have a problem, and making it, being open and shouting it out there. We're here, there's people here to talk to you, to listen to you, to help you, to guide you through.
Yeah, and I think it's fantastic that, you know, there's lots of events, ourselves and others, and I love the month of May, the Green Ribbon. And I think a couple of things, and again, from working with thousands of people and being very privileged to hear their journeys, is to say to anyone listening, to, you know, mental health is messy, right? I have a messy part of me. Sometimes as a mother I rock and other times I make a mess of it. It doesn't mean I'm any less. Sometimes as a therapist I rock and sometimes I make. Mental health is messy, and it's about if you're in a tough place or struggling, don't allow shame to go on top of that. Don't allow yourself to think I should be. Absolutely. Reach out, but here's the important bit. We need to reach out to people we feel we can trust. We need to reach out to people we feel we can talk to. So consider who might you be able to talk to among your friends or your family. And if you're not sure, there's some really great organisations who can, and I'd always say, journey with you and give you maybe options and choices of different ways of getting yourself through it. I'm very strong around, Michael, our organisation is called Suicide or Survive. Now, we work regular mental health right through to suicide. But one thing we're very clear about, we do not save lives. That's a very paternalistic approach. We support and encourage people to save their own lives because every one of us got this far in life, which means we have resilience.
Well, funny you should say that because you brought a memory back to me of... In nearly all the Coonwira centres, there'll be a stone or a plaque that will say, "I can change nobody's life but my own."
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and I think
that's really significant. That, firstly, you have the potential and the ability to turn things around. Now, it's not going to be easy, and you may need some support. But we don't, I have no control over what someone says to me or what, you know, but I do have control over how I respond. I do have control over what I do with the experience. And exactly what you said, if we can sort ourselves out, work out what our triggers are, work out what works well for us, the ripple effect, and that's mental health, the ripple effect will go to our children, our grandchildren, our family and our friend, and that's real change in our country. But it takes a nation for that to happen, Michael.
Now, we're quickly running out of time here, Caroline, I'm afraid, and really enjoyed chatting with you.
Likewise, thank you.
If there's somebody out there and they're not feeling great, can you give them a bit of, where can they get more information? Who can they contact?
Yeah, okay. Firstly, they're not alone. Everybody, loads of us will have got up this morning and we could be at different phases. You're more than, whatever way you're feeling now, there is much more to you. So what I would say to anyone out there, if you have a friend or a family member you feel you can turn to and say, look, might be struggling today, might need to get a bit of help. If you don't, you've got the Samaritans who are 116123 and they are lovely people to talk to. They're non-judgmental. There's a fantastic website and it's called yourmentalhealth.ie and it's the government's website and all the agencies in all the counties all over Ireland. All you do is put your county in and it will tell you all the services that are in your county. And if someone is in a tough out place or at risk, I would really, really encourage you to reach out. You've got your GP who you can contact. But mostly it's really, and then our own organisation, Suicide or Survive. If you want to know what our programmes are, give the guys a ring, 1-890-577-577. And if it's not our organisation, because we're not precious, Michael, we will help people find the right organisation for them. So we'll help them signpost. So anybody that's struggling out there, you've got yourself this far. So it means you can and you do have resilience. You're not alone. And I'd really encourage them to reach out.
Caroline, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for talking to me.
Likewise. Enjoy your weekend.
And you too. All the best.
Thanks a million. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.